About a month ago, there was a debate on the Harvard Ed School campus called Is Free College Really Free? With a focus on community college, it was moderated by HGSE's Professor of Education and Economics, Bridget Terry Long, a leading expert specializing in the study of education, in particular the transition from high school to higher ed and beyond. Before the debate that she moderated, we sat down with Professor Bridget Terry Long to probe the complexity of this ongoing conversation. This is the Harvard EdCast. Free community college, we've heard that phrase thrown around the news, mainstream media, blogs, and everyone talks about it. And it's not always embraced. Dr. Bridget Terry Long, why is that not the case? What is wrong with something being free? Who says no to free? That's what I want to know.
Who says no to free? Well, you know, this idea came up because of a real problem, and that is college affordability. So we know that getting some kind of post-secondary training is important, but we also know how expensive it is, and students really face lots of challenges with paying for tuition costs. So free college sounds like, okay, we're going to take that away so they can focus and anyone who wants to go can go. But it's really a lot more complicated than that. And you know, the reason why we chose this topic for this Ask with Foreign was really to focus not on the free college aspect, but the community colleges. You know, they are the backbone of our higher education system. And the media, everyone spends so much time thinking about the research universities, the four-year colleges, but the community colleges serve 42% of undergraduates. And the majority of students of color go to community colleges, not four-year institutions. Think about workers needing retraining, first-generation college students, older students, parents. They're being served by the community colleges. So this question of how do we help those students do better? And free college is just one potential solution. You know, the initial debate that happened with the presidential election, with debates that followed, I don't think really got at the many, many challenges that students face, as well as the fact that community colleges are underfunded. You know, they were created and they've never quite been funded. But when you look at the figures, the community colleges are getting, the research universities are getting $4,000 to $1 what a community college is getting. And they're trying to serve much larger, broader, diverse populations who have lots of different needs and assets and competing demands.
With no endowments, far less resources,
all of the above, and resources falling. And so free college might solve some problems like affordability, but you know, we know many students, you know, take California, where tuition is really fairly low. The main cost that they're facing is not tuition. It's how do they support themselves with room and board? Where are they living? How do they pay their rent? Transportation. We know from some research, just providing bus passes has a huge impact because people need to get to school. Childcare. For the many, many students who have children of their own who are trying to make a better life for their family.
And a lot of community college students are not the quote-unquote 18 to 22-year-olds.
Exactly. Actually, if you look at higher education in general, most college students aren't the recent high school graduates. That's such a small proportion of college students out there. So we have to think really about meeting students where they are. Free tuition might do some things, but it's not going to do everything.
So in 2015, this got a lot of attention with the American College Promise. For those who don't know, it's a $60 billion program that grants 2 years of community college for free for responsible students. Since 2015, the progress, the growth, the public sentiment towards this plan by President Obama.
Right. So that was really interesting, and having the ability to talk to a lot of the representatives within the Obama administration to try to understand why they did this. I mean, on the surface, the economists, many people who just looked at the basic math of it, how would we possibly do this for millions and millions of students? This can't be feasible, maybe politically or financially. But, you know, the administration was clear that this brought attention to community colleges. The real goal was to say, what are we doing for these institutions? And it became very popular. And we have seen it in several states. We've seen some experiments in Tennessee and so forth. But there still are these questions about whether or not it's feasible. Oregon has tried to do this with new community college students. And they've had to backtrack this year just because demand was so great and the budget just got stretched too thin. So yes, it's brought a lot of attention, but I think we need to go deeper. There are other things we need to do for students. And some students would rather say, you know, I'm willing to pay for some tuition if I get quality on the end. I need support.
Be free if I get the good stuff.
Exactly. I think the hard part of it is, what if you are paying and you're not getting the supports that you need? That is the real difficulty I think that many students face.
So are we always just going to see these sort of popping up great opportunities and great cases in certain states? Or is there a real plan and a possibility for a true sort of national excellence amongst community colleges? Or is it always going to be, oh, it's good in California, it's good here, and New York's doing some good stuff. But maybe in the places and some of the states that have no resources and populations that need it the most, is it always just going to not be so strong?
Well, I think given the history of the United States, we have a very decentralized education system. We know this in K-12, but it's also true for higher ed. And it's hard to see, you know, even under the Obama administration and now the current administration, some kind of federal policy that links all of this together that would take serious funding or regulation. And so we have states making their own decisions. That has its weaknesses, but it also has its strengths, because we do have these 50 different experiments that are going on around the country. Exactly, and trying to identify what works. And we know what works in one context may not work in another context. You know, we don't want to have one size fits all for all states, for all students, for all institutions. But there have been some other actions. So, for example, one of our panelists tonight, Josh Weiner, he works at the Aspen Institute, and he's been really influential part of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, which is given out every other year, really recognizing a number of schools that are doing amazing things. And there have been lots of other efforts out there to try to identify what individual states or institutions have figured out, and then how do we share those practices more widely. And for any given school, again, it's not going to be one size fits all, but if you have a toolbox to pick from and you have some evidence out there to say, you know, if we invest in this way, if we use our resources, our time, our space in this way, you know, we'll improve things for students.
What could someone who's not a policymaker, say someone who's a local K-12 teacher who is not part of the government, and they're not allocating spending on a state level, what can they do after they finish listening to this podcast on a practical level to help improve and grow and understand the role and place of community colleges in their community?
Right. Well, I think, you know, first off, understand, although we're spending all this time on institutions like our own, like Harvard, the community colleges are really doing the bulk of the work, and they need our support. And so every time, you know, there's some discussion, whether it's federal or state, and for many community colleges, it's local decisions. It's passing local bond issues and other things to support the community colleges. You know, that makes a huge difference over time. And community colleges are probably around you in many possible ways that you didn't realize. These are the institutions that are doing partnerships with the K-12 schools, with local companies in terms of job training, with non-credit courses for senior citizens, with language courses and ESL and GED courses. So they're probably working in ways all around you if you have greater awareness and can participate or support those other programs.
I don't think there's a better person to have this conversation with than a professor of education and economics. Professor Bridget Terry Lang, thanks as always for spending some time on your well-deserved sabbatical with us today.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful.
This has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I'm your host, Matt Weber. Thank you kindly.